sing a hymn and y'all can go on home. But it didn't stop there. Somebody by the name of Sheila came up here this morning. And really, all I do is say, y'all sing a prayer and we can sing a song and we can get out of here. But I ain't going to do that. If y'all remember about, I think about couple of Sundays ago, I read from the book of 1 Kings. And I talked about this lady, this widow, and I talked about Elijah. And as I go on this morning, I'm going to bring that part briefly because I want you to get that part before you could get what I'm going to tell you about this morning. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to have but a few verses, 17 to 24, but I'm not going to read them now, but have your Bible, well, be ready. Living Faith is the title. You know, there are too many of us that felt like this lady did, which I will talk to in a minute. We said that God has made a mistake, and we want to challenge him. And even if we are too scared to say it, but we know what it is to be, how it feels. We know how to feel of it, to think it, to even talk it to other people about it. Such is the case. You'll understand that little bit of phrase as I go on. Such is the case with our experience with the prophet Elijah. As we look at the experiencing the supernatural. But you know one thing? Elijah, if you read his life, it is what we are going through today in this world. Now, this woman that I talked about earlier had a lot of shout about the supernatural. She was down to her last meal. Remember that? This widow, God sent Elijah to see this widow down to her last meal, and she and her son was just sitting there, just getting ready to die. But the Lord came through the prophet Elijah. And she says, and all of a sudden she is living large. She's eating big meals every day, three times a day. And she tells her God, she says that, God says that all of a sudden, all these blessings are coming in. She had a whole bunch of meals because of the promises of God that had, there had to be an exciting, you know, you got a cupboard, it's empty. You have a little child, you're sitting down for your last meal because you're going to die because there's nothing else left. It had to be an exciting meal, an exciting house to be in, to look at the supernatural move of God. But wouldn't you know it, just when you think you have something to shout about, just when you think you have something to give God all honor and glory and praise about, just when you think you had it all in your control to get your praise on, just when you ready to just celebrate the goodness of God in the land of the living, then we come to verse 17. It reads, I'm reading from the New American Standard, chapter 17, verse 17, it says, now it came after these things that the son of the woman, the missus of the house, became sick. And his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. Okay, let's just breathe a minute. If you remember, God saved this boy. He saved his life. He was down to his last meal, and he and his mom was going to starve to death. God performed a miracle. He feeds them, and after the passing of time, the boy gets sick. And his sickness got worse and worse and worse until there is no breath left in him. That's another way of saying the boy did. That could be a little confusing. Some of us know that we get so excited about a blessing, only to look at it sometime later and watch it become a curse. God could have been downright confusing at times. So this house of gladness became a house of sadness because the very thing that was delivered yesterday, I am losing today. So one miracle didn't stop the need of a new one. That's our problem. That's the situation we're in. When God saves you yesterday and kills you today. So now that we have our problem, this woman shares her perspective. Verse 18 says, so she said to Elijah, what do I have to do with you? I hope you heard that, what she said. She just received a miracle. God saved her son. Now her son is dead. This was just a short time has passed. He says, what do I have to do with you? Translation, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Yes, I know you're a preacher. I know you're the man of God, but I don't want nothing to do with you. You have come to me to bring me my iniquity, rest of verse 18, to remembrance and to put my son to death. In other words, you came here to ruin my life. I know you are a preacher. I know you are a man, a word of God, a man of God. Yeah, I know something good happened yesterday, but you have ruined my life and I have nothing to do with you. This woman, understand this woman, because we are like that too. Whether you're honest about it or not, you'll see a minute where you're going to say, yes, I'm like that. This woman is hurt. This woman is upset. This woman is disappointed. We have a lot of things going on here. Bear with me just a little bit. The first thing is her circumstances. Her circumstances was a negative one. She just lost her son. The second thing she says, you are here to point out my sin. That's what she tells Elijah. You are here to reveal my iniquity because my son died. And I'm getting repaid for the mistakes I made in my past. Then she says, O man of God. And by recognizing him as a man of God, it reminded her of her past relationship with other men who were not men of God. It reminded her of her sin. And she said, my sin has brought this thing on me. And your righteous presence has made me aware of my sin. So she has got a bad situation going on here. She is feeling guilty over her sin that she thinks has caused this situation. So let's get one thing straight here. Our circumstances were controlling, her circumstances were controlling her theology. She was believing what she was believing because she was feeling what she was feeling. She was feeling disappointed. She has just lost her son. She wrapped those two things up in a box and she concludes that I'm going to believe this because I see that. I see my son has died. You remember me of my sin. You remind me of my sin. And that is why I am in this mess that I am in today. It's start by saying, never let your circumstances determine your theology. Because when your circumstances control what you believe, rather than what God says control what you believe, you will always succumb to your circumstances when those circumstances are negative. Now, let's make this clear. You don't skip reality of your circumstances. The boy is dead. He lost his life. He lost his breath. The boy is sick, so sick that he died. That's true. That's a real circumstance. That's a real thing that happened. So you don't skip and make up something that's not that's true, but the truth of her circumstances were dictating what she was to believe about God and about Elijah. And the only thing about she was believing was about God and Elijah, and because Elijah had reminded her of her past. because her iniquity is all up in her face. She is struggling, she is in pain, and there is a reason for it. She is confused, and you have asked the question, God, you all have never asked these questions before, because you've never been in this circumstance. You've never been in a bad situation. You've never been in a health situation. But listen to what she's really thinking about. God, if you cared, if you care about my health, why did this problem happen? God, how could you care if I'd be in this financial problem? God, how could you care if this difficult relationship? Lord, how could you care? And I'm under these pressures that I'm under. Lord, how you care, it doesn't make sense to me. So here is a lady who is facing what you face and what I face, things that don't make sense. And so she lets him know how she feels, because her circumstances, they are controlling her perspective. She has rejected now. She is ready to walk away from God. You know, the reason that we had Bible study, and we talked about this, how people can get so despondent. Things can happen so traumatic in their life. And they say that, God, I thought you were this. God, I thought you were that. And evidently, you're not true. And in their mind, they're about to walk away and leave God because of things that have happened so dramatic in their life. But this Elijah and this woman gave me another whole brand new perspective. She said to Elijah, what do I have to do with you, O man of God? I want nothing to do with you, implying that I don't want your God either. People know people who don't go to church anymore, who don't want God anymore because their circumstances died on them. Because if God was God, if God was real and God was true, this wouldn't have happened to me. Especially after the miracle I saw the other day, or the other week, or the other month, or however long it's been, when he fed me. So here we have a dilemma. A dilemma that we have faced. I know someone who has faced it. Now in verse 19, Elijah takes over. He says to her, give me your son. Then he took him from her bosom and carried him up to the upper room where he was living and laid him on his bed. Okay. We have a woman, a mama that's hurting. And any mother in this situation would be hurting. But we have got a man of God here, and he says, give me your pain. Remember, he says, give me your son. Let me say this. Everybody needs somebody in your life who cares enough about you to pick up a burden that is too heavy for you to handle. The Bible says, bear ye one another's sins, burdens, he says. The great tragedy is if you don't have someone, or if you refuse to be that someone, we have two extremes today in God's kingdom. We have people who are struggling with God, who won't allow anybody in their circle to pick up their burdens. And we have Christians who are too selfish to be a burden bearer for somebody else. See, this whole thing, what Bible study was about, what Sheila preached about this morning, God is supernaturally preparing us for what we're about to face. See, we're going to have to grow up or get out. This is getting serious. This world is getting serious. Things are happening. People are dying, two and three, not in other states, right around where you live. Accidents. People are going out. The man was cutting grass, turned around in the street to go back to cut a, and a car came around the curb, and he is gone. Every time you pick up the newspaper, stuff is happening. Death is all around us. But this struggling woman had somebody close enough. Though she was a struggling theology, she was struggling with God in him and struggling spiritually, he didn't give her a sermon. He gave her a hand. He said, hand me the boy. Now, if the kingdom of God, the church of Jesus Christ, is going to be real, then we are going to have to be both parties. You're going to be a hurting people. You're going to be going to have men and women of God to pick up the burdens when it is crushing somebody. The life has gone out of them or from them. See, how many received a miracle recently? You received a miracle recently. Don't you know that a situation is going to come up again? That you're going to need another miracle? It's like money. You know that thing to have somebody give you something and just say, pass it on. Be a blessing. I'm being blessed to you, so for you to be a blessing to somebody else. What God does is the same. They just didn't come out of the blue sky. This is how God operates. He uses people to bless his people. This thing has gotten so. He says, hand the boy to me. And he takes the boy upstairs to his room. And notice what happens in verse 20. He called to the Lord. Some virgins said he cried out to the Lord, but he sends up a prayer. He calls to the Lord, O Lord, my God. You stop there for a minute. Let me take a break here. You see, when you are doubting God, the reality to quit on God, you need to have somebody who is still in touch with God. Elijah says, O Lord, my God. He is still in touch with God, despite what the lady said to him, despite what she's thinking. He knows her feeling. God knows our every innermost feelings. She is not with you right now. She is not hanging with you right now. This is with Elijah. She is not buying what you say right now. But I know, Elijah says, she's not with me. She's not buying anything I say. I could tell this woman anything. She would not buy me. That's why I said, give me the boy. He took the boy from her. And remember this, he took the boy from her. He didn't stay downstairs. He took the boy upstairs. There's a reason for that. Because, see, Elijah said, but I know how she feels. I know how she's doing. I know how she's thinking. I'm in touch with you. Elijah is telling the Lord, I'm in touch with you, so I am to go up to you on her behalf. I'm going to go to you when she can't right now, because her situation doesn't allow her. She is too weak. She is not, so I'm going to take her burdens, and I'm going to give up to the Lord, and I'm going to take the burdens to the Lord for her. This is called intercession. I'm going to go up to God for her because she is too weak to go to God on her own. Have you met people like that before? I don't believe that there are too many people who has not been in this situation. I don't mean the death situation, but you've been in situations just as bad as death. When I says death, there could be death to any type of situation. It could be death to your finances. You thought you had something, but it's dead. You can't get anything. You have nobody to give you anything. Anything that you just put a shutdown on can suck the life. That could be death to your situation. Doesn't necessarily mean spiritual death. It doesn't necessarily have to mean natural death. But when I mention death, and you can see this in, well, let me go. I just get ahead of myself. It's called intercession. That's what this thing is called, intercession. Because she is too weak to go to God on her own, so Elijah goes up for her on her behalf. But Elijah said, I know who you are. Verse 20, he says, O Lord, my God. Have you also brought calamity to this widow with whom I am staying by causing her son to die? So what he does is he brings the problem to God when she can't. Prayer is calling on heaven to address something here on earth. It is called God. It's calling on God to speak to the situation right here in time, right here at this minute, right here today. He says, I need you to intervene on behalf of this woman who is in so much pain. She is too much spiritual, it's too much spiritual frustration to meet you on her own. So I need you to do something. Verse 21. Then Elijah, remember he took the boy, he went upstairs to his room, laid the boy on his bed, and says, he stretched himself upon the child three times. Now, we are always say, well, three is God's number, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, which could be true too. The number three in the Bible is used for restoration and resurrection. He lays on the boy because we are dealing with, now watch this, a dead situation. That means a situation that has no life of its own and that no human being could resolve because the thing has totally collapsed. He has no breath. He has no life left in him. That means he needs restoration, or even stronger, he needs resurrection. Why does he place his body on the boy in order for this to occur? Translated, Lord, he needs life. He needs breath. I am going to lay my life on top of his death, and I give you permission to suck my life, my breath, from me and exchange it and pour it into the life of this young boy so he can ride piggyback, so to speak. That's what Robin used, piggyback. Piggyback on my life because he has no life of his own. Now, you need somebody in your life who is not only willing to pray for you, but also is willing to be a part of the solution to the very problem that you're praying for. He didn't just say, I am praying. He said, I'm going to give something of myself so that God can use me to help answer the very thing I am praying for. God is looking for people who will talk to heaven and stretch out on earth. Mr. Ray, Mr. Gibson, I'm going to use that as an example. If I forget, remind me. Who will reach glory, but also be usable on earth? So he reaches out to pray. He stretches out and sharing his life for the life of the boy who was lost. So here is our situation. He stretches out. So when he did this, something happened. Verse 21 says, it says, then he stretched himself upon the child three times, and he called to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray you, let this child's life return to him. Now, that is not what you call a small request. He cries out to the Lord and is very specific. He says, let this life be returned. It was just not a willy-nilly prayer. He prayed for God. He prayed exact situation that was going on and prayed for God to react to this situation, precisely this boy's life. We just can't, when you're serious about God, you don't say you need something, mainly is finances with us. You just don't go say, well, Lord, I need this and I need, no, Lord, you need finances. So you prayed specifically for finances. Health problems? Lord, my heart is not as strong and a doctor says this. You don't pray for your leg problem. Lord, not my leg, this problem. It's this main artery, this thing you put in me, my heart. So he cries out to the Lord and he says something very specific. He says, let this life be returned. Verse 22 says, the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him and was revived. She piggybacked on the spirituality of somebody else because this is spirituality she didn't have on her own. She wasn't right then. She wasn't right to be a part of it then. But you see how the Lord works. Because at the end of verse 22, it says the child's life returned. We read earlier, she took him, and we read, God gave him back. So what we just read was God reversing a decision. God took him, and God gave him back. In return, taking him and giving him back was a prayer and a stretch. He prayed and he stretched out on the boy. The prayer and the stretch caused God to hear and reverse a previous decision to take him. So God reverses the call. Let me explain something a little more. I want you to try God at a whole nother level for the supernatural. I want you to see God reverse a call in your life. Something that looks like, he said, is no life in. Something that looks like it could never be fixed. Something that it looks like it could never be changed. And because it was the right person calling on God and stretching out on a need, God reconsidered and reversed his decision. Whether you know it or not, you know, this is not the first time God reversed decisions. All through the Bible, you find how God changes his mind. We're dealing with a God that changes not according to the Bible. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we still see a lot of places where he changed his mind. See, God is God. We try to put a pattern and put him in a box. We try to manipulate and know. We know how God thinks. This is what God said, and nothing's going to change. This is how it goes. He said, next time I see somebody dying, I'm going to lay on him three times. Says, Lord, you know, take my life for his. No, it doesn't work that way. It works different for everybody in every situation. God knows them better than you know yourself. Okay, now I'm going to use you an example. Can I? It's good. Now, and Sheila had reminded me sometime, I think last Sunday she spoke it up, because I had questioned God itself. When you, and I'm quite sure if you think back, y'all have experienced the same things, but you just didn't pay attention to what you did something. You prayed for somebody and you did something odd to rectify or fix that solution to that problem. And that's what I thought about it. Yep, Mr. Ray, he came in that Sunday and he was in a bad way because they were going to amputate his foot. And I just thought I was going to pray for him. But what I didn't understand, that I heard it so plain as anything. God told me to serve him a healing. But how he wanted me to serve him, I could have just been down and touched his foot and prayed for the, you know, the God to heal him. I could have just been down, oh Lord, been down like this and prayed for his healing. But look where my feet were. I could have gone down like this and prayed for him. I still bounced on my feet. No, I had to sit. Y'all had to help me up. But I had to sit with my foot stretched out with my hand on his foot. What God was saying to me is, I said, Lord, why didn't you tell me this at first? He says, because it's not about you. It's about him. It's about him being healed. I was out of the picture. I was just being obedient to what God had said. I didn't do anything but do what God told me to do. I couldn't be standing on my foot because I was standing on the life of my two good feet. I couldn't put pressure on the life of my good. God said he needed all of my feet free. So when I stretched out and sat on like I did, my feet wouldn't, they were free to, for God to take the life out of my foot and place in yours. Finally got a reason for that. And it worked. You know why? Because he's wearing tennis shoes. I don't know when he's going to run track, but he's running. But I'm saying this. I don't care if God tells you to do something. You do it and do it in the way that he tells you to do it. It may look foolish. It may look, it's everything to people is going to look foolish. So God says, I take the simple things of this world to confound the wise. But when he tell you to do it, you pray. He'll tell you to pray, you pray. If he didn't tell you to pray, don't you pray. Because it's not going to work. God didn't tell you. But anything he tell you to do, do it the way that he wants you to do it. You got to listen all the way. And you can hear him. You know the difference. Because you start moving before you even realize you're moving. So what we just said, God reversed the decision. God took him. God gave him back. In between taking him and giving him back was a prayer and a stretch. The prayer and the stretch caused God to reverse the previous decision to take him, so God reverses the call. Whether you know it or not, you will find out throughout the scripture that God changes things, changes his mind. You know, we read about Moses. You know, God changed his mind then. Elijah, God changed his mind. We just know. Jonah, Nineveh was about to be the destruction of Nineveh. God changed his mind because of Jonah. You will find throughout that God regularly changes his mind. Question is, well, how can a changeless God change his mind? Well, the way a changeless God can change his mind is that you are not appealing to another part of his nature. Now, see how I give you a good example of this. You know, spiritually, we have to change our location. If I'm looking up at the sun, and I got circumstances, S-O-N sign. And I have circumstances that I can't, that's too bare, it's bearing down. And because of the sins, like this lady had past sins. She thought she showed up because of her past sins. That's why he showed up, and that's why she lost her son. That's why things begin to go south on her. But it took a God to get her mind straight that she can change her location. So if I'm looking at God this way, God is the same yesterday, today, forever. He's not going to change. What he says is going to do. But when we look at God in one way as a judgmental God, a God that's hard, a God that's stern, a God that he can't change his mind for any reason, we have to change our spiritual location. So you walk around this side and see a God of love. a God of grace, a God of goodness, a God of mercy, mostly a God of love. We have to change our location. I don't mean physically, spiritually. God, you have the right to destroy them. But I remember what you said in Genesis. You said in Genesis, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that you were going to keep your commandment, your covenant. So while your wrath is just, and I'm on this side, I'm going to spin around to the other, a little bit on the other side, and come at another location of where you are, so that I am facing now the Son of your grace, the Son of your forgiveness. That's why repentance is so important, because repentance means to change your mind in order to reverse directions. In other words, when you reverse directions, you repent, you ain't going there no more. But if you do, you still have a God. So when I disobey God, and now his just wrath, justice comes against me, but I don't want it anymore. I do a earth rotation, and I kind of go around to another location in order to set in front of his grace and his mercy, because I have repented of my sins, and now changes God can change his mind about my situation, because I relocated my position. So you can get to changes God to change his mind even in your life right here today. You are in right relationship. You can't pray that way, because you're in the right relationship. When you are in the right relationship, you can pray that way, but she couldn't pray that way. Not then, not at that time. Her mind hadn't gotten straight yet, because she was too conscious at that time of her sin. Even after her boy was brought back, she was just too, just my boy had died because of my past sins. That's all she could conjure up in her mind. So she got Elijah to pray and do a rotation for her. Now watch this. By the way, this was an exception, because a prophet couldn't touch an unclean thing. And if you were dead, you were considered unclean. So you couldn't touch anything dead without becoming unclean. So this was special. This is where even then they try to put God in a particular box. This is where God, you just don't move that way. But he does. He moves any way that he wants to move to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in your life. But he lays on this boy, because God uses exceptions. God recognizes exceptions. He has his rules, but all through the Bible he makes exceptions. Remember the ravens? He sent them out. A raven was considered an unclean bird. That was an exception. In other words, he had a unique spin on this situation. And so God makes exceptions when we cry out to him and we seek him. Now watch this now. This is so sweet. Somebody said the word is so sweet. It's sweeter than what somebody said it this morning. It must have been Sheila. When you follow God, things will always end up sweet. Even his word, sweeter than the honey on the honeycomb. So what we have in verse 23 is, Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper room into the house, gave him to the mother, and Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." Now, I'll be through in a minute. This thing just got me so nice. She is downstairs. He took the boy and went upstairs. God performed a miracle that she was not even a part of. She is so messed up to be a part of it. She is still so too confused to be a part of it. But she had in her circle a man of God who would act on her behalf, who would be the deliverer of the miracle that she needs. The woman needs a miracle. Elijah didn't need a miracle. The woman did. Mr. Ray, I call you Pastor Ray. Mr. Ray needed a miracle. I didn't wasn't in need of that miracle at that time. Mr. Ray did. He needed the miracle. The way she gets the miracle is through somebody else who can access it for her. So somebody in here should be one of two people. You should be a widow that needs a person in need, or you can be Elijah, someone who uses, God uses to meet the need. You're going to be one of those two at any given time. Because one day, if you are Elijah, you're going to be a widow. And one day, when God comes through, you may be a widow, but he turns you into an Elijah. He can use you for something now. Right now, he can use you. Because somebody is going to be used for you later. When your world collapses, but it's not over yet, because this is what now. You know, see, God is a 100% God. He doesn't leave things incomplete. This woman's mind is still messed up, a little bit messed up. But verse 24 says, it says, then the woman said to Elijah, now I know. Oh, no, she didn't. Girlfriend says, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth. That's in your mouth is true. Now, God has he just does things so unique. Wait a minute now. A few verses ago, she called him a man of God. She identified him as a man of God, but she identified him as a man of God while being mad at God and telling him to get out of the house. So she recognizes position, but she says, now I know. Watch this. If she is only knowing that now, that means that she didn't know it before. Because she said, I know, now I know that you are for real. That didn't you just have a miracle just a few days ago? How come you didn't recognize God as being real then? You know, remember when you ran out of food? You and your son, and the Lord sent Elijah back and prayed, and your house became full of food, and you was living large, you was jumping and shouting, and that wasn't that long ago. What do you mean now, you know it now, after God gave you a job, put food on in your stomach, gave you a raise? What do you mean now you know? Something happened in our lives, even though God did something for us yesterday. Over time, we have a tendency to forget. How good is he? We forget how powerful he is. So guess what God does? He lets something die. He lets something go south on you. He lets something not do too well to remind us that he is a right now God. See, we say words so flippantly. Say, you know, God is a jealous God. But now, see, when I say he's a jealous God, he means he's a jealous God. If you work, if you're going to be for him, you're going to be for him for nobody else. What do you mean? Now you know. I did this for you. God had to bring this woman's mind into check. He wasn't going to lose another lady. He gave you every chance after chance after chance and said, look, now you know I'm for real. I did this for you, and I let you go. I got your mind straight. When this went south on you, now you don't know him anymore. You want me out the house. You don't want my servant, or you don't want me. And you don't want me. See, God is not playing now. He is preparing us. It's a big job. It's a job that we can handle through Lord. He gives us the power and the strength to do all that he asks us to do. He's not going to send you to war without any weapons. So he would not send you to out in the field without equipping you the way you need to be equipped to handle the job. But he puts you in a situation where you need him right now. He puts you in a situation to remind you that God who brought you through yesterday haven't died on you, haven't gone to sleep on you. He lets things die, even though your situation is unique, even though you can't point to anybody who has been where you are. God may want to use you to be the first person he does something special with. He does something new with. He does something supernatural for. He wants to use you to be part of this, be in line for the first miracle that he's going to bring. So either be an Elijah or a widow, but hook up so you can see the supernatural, because it says in Hebrews, what he did in the Old Testament, he'll do the same in the Old Testament. He does the same thing today. So church, what he's doing, he's just preparing us. He just don't want us to give up because things go bad. Because things, life is like that. He said, you'll be in this world, but just don't be a part of this world. And circumstances, we're not moved by our circumstances. We move by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We are victorious in whatever we do. I don't care if it's down, God is there. When we up, God is there. So don't just come this Sunday and say, Ray, lift up his voice and thank him for the day. No, you do it every day of the week, because you need him every day of the week. I just don't need him just on Sundays. Well, after I leave church, what do you mean? I don't have it covering when I leave. No, you keep God in your heart, keep in prayer. You just keep praying for people. Keep doing what God you need to do to stay in touch with him. Because you need people. People are being kidnapped and they find them a few days later dead. Fires are raging. People won't leave their homes because the circle. I worked hard for this. I'm not going to leave. And they got burnt up with the houses. People won't leave because I said they do everything with floods. And I heard them say, look, the brand new vehicles, I just bought it. Stay with it then. If that's your God, let it save you. God is nothing. He's just being serious with us. Oh, Heavenly Father, right now, I go on talking. I be here all night. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for just another